What is obvious intoxication under the Act? Remember, the Act prohibits serving a recipient who is obviously intoxicated and presents a clear danger to himself or herself or others. So what is obvious intoxication under the Act? And I'll tell you that there are lots of battles about this issue in the cases. Well, what does the Dram Shop Act say is obvious intoxication? It had to be apparent to the defendant when the alcohol was served or provided that the recipient was, quote, obviously intoxicated and, quote, presented a clear danger to himself and others. So where are the battle lines when it comes to obvious intoxication in these cases? Well, defendants argue that it necessarily involves eyewitness testimony that someone was falling down, slurring their speech, that they appeared at the time they were served to be obviously intoxicated. That's what defendants say. The problem is that many of these people were either alone or they were with friends who were also overserved. And so obtaining that testimony from witnesses who are not current or former employees of the defendants can be very problematic for plaintiffs. The case law says that obvious intoxication involves visible, evident, and easily observable intoxication. It's an objective standard based on what the reasonably prudent person, provider in this case, would have observed. Actual witnessing of the intoxication, evidence of that, is not required. Why? The cases tell us and teach us that if that were required, it would encourage providers to turn a blind eye. You'll see that theme repeated in the reported cases, that we're not going to require actual eyewitness testimony because doing so would encourage the turning of a blind eye that someone was intoxicated. And it can be established obvious intoxication through both direct and circumstantial evidence. So what kind of evidence is direct? Direct evidence of intoxication can be the amount of alcohol served, physical clues such as balance, coordination, speech, disorientation, changes in behavior or emotions, testimony that it was obvious. Indirect or circumstantial evidence can be any of these things here that you're seeing on the screen. Testimony from a police officer or from an expert that, well, with 0.20 at the time of the crash, 30 minutes earlier when they were being served, much more probably than not, they were exhibiting obvious outward symptoms of obvious intoxication. Your toxicologist can testify to that, and police officers with the proper training potentially can. They can also testify, police officers, about what they saw at the scene of the crash. Strong odor of alcoholic beverage, horizontal gaze nystagmus test, where they move a pen in front of your eyes, and as they take your eyes out to the edges, there's an involuntary twitching that is indicative or can be indicative of intoxication. Failing field sobriety test, for example. All of that kind of evidence about what is occurring at the time of the crash can be circumstantial evidence of what was going on more probably than not when the recipient was served or overserved. So also, and this is something that is often overlooked, habit or routine practice. Evidence that it was the habit or routine practice of this bar, dram shop, to overserve can also come in as evidence about habit and routine practice, and look in the rules of evidence to have you explain that. Once or twice generally is insufficient for habit or routine practice, but more often than that can make the evidence potentially admissible. So, do the plaintiffs have an argument in a dram shop case that obvious intoxication can be established based solely on the number of drinks? Common sense dictates that they must, because otherwise, take it out to its logical extreme. I'm a bar, I can serve someone until they fall off the bar stool. My argument can be, well, Quentin was holding his liquor. He was sitting up straight. He wasn't slurring his speech. He wasn't mumbling. His eyes weren't glassy and bloodshot. And so I could keep serving him ad infinitum. I could serve him as many drinks as possible as long as he did not display outward symptoms. Well, the case law tells us otherwise. The TABC, Texas Alcoholic Beverage Commission materials tell us otherwise. Number of drinks alone. And that makes sense. If I serve someone 20 drinks, people have tolerances where they can tolerate alcohol, particularly alcoholics. If I serve someone 20 drinks and they're still sitting upright at my bar, can I still continue to serve them if they've downed those drinks in a short or relatively short period of time? The answer under the Dram Shop Act and common sense, using the reasonably prudent server standard, has to be no. And it's not just me who says that. The Texas Alcoholic Beverage Commission circulates materials such as what you're seeing here, these drink charts, and they encourage and provide guidelines for trying to assess intoxication based on numbers of drinks served and body weight. So you can't do that unless you're looking at the amount of alcohol you're serving someone. Many bars and many dram shops don't do that, but that's no excuse under the statute. You need to be counting drinks, and you, if you're a plaintiff, have an argument that numbers of drinks alone can help, at least help get you to obvious intoxication.